AG1.
What's up? I'm here to talk to you about AG1 Athletic Greens again. You know, it's important to me that the supplements I take are high quality, and that's why I've been taking AG1 for, what is it now, 4 years, 3.5 years or something like that? The thing I like about it is it's researched and developed by an in-house team of scientists, doctors, and nutritionists with decades of experience in their fields. So you know it ain't BS, it's AG. They are the real deal. I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 isn't a buzzword. They really push hard. Expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, rigorous testing. They got it all. At each step of the process, AG1 is going above and beyond. Now, what I like about them, first of all, you can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's an NSF certified for sport, which is like a rigorous, independent quality. They've tested for over 950 contaminants, banned substances. The industry standard apparently is only testing for 10. Dude, it's 95 times as rigorous. And it's not complicated. It's so simple. It's just replacing health supplements like multivitamins, digestive aids, immune support, in just one simple scoop. It takes 60 seconds. You don't have to swallow a bunch of pills on an empty stomach. Boom. And as I always say, you get a little bit of water in there too. Get that day started. So with the water, and then for me, the prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support is probably the most important ingredient. I eat a pretty varied diet, so I get my nutrition from a lot of places, but I got to eat more fermented foods. But AG1 lets me have this prebiotics and probiotics first thing in the morning. Take care of my digestive enzymes, which if you're a listener of the podcast, you know I need help with. All right. Look, I've partnered with AG1 for so long because they make a high-quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. I chug down an AG1 maybe within 10 minutes of getting out of bed. It's the way I start my day every day, even on the road. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/mighty. That's DRINKAG, the number one, .com/MIGHTY. drinkag1.com/mighty.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G. Joining me as always in the High and Mighty studios is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout out. Nothing from Artie. And joining me in the High and Mighty studios for first-time guest, long-time friend, guys, put your digital hands together for Joe Wengert.
I don't know my fuckboy ranking.
I'm not, for me to do that in front of a lot of people, it's always kind of unusual. And even you, who I've done almost exclusively weird things in front of on stage for a decade, I'm like, Joe is just so buttoned up, I feel uncomfortable screaming.
I did not make eye contact.
Yeah, I didn't either. To be fair, I kind of looked away. Arthur is not here. He's in the living room with my wife, who's working. Tiff working from home this week, and me also trying to get ahead on recording podcasts is a real headbutt type situation, where she's on a work call, and I'm like, fuck, boy! At the top of my lungs. Oops. the dynamic of if I usually work from home and my wife doesn't, and now she's been home for like working from home for 2 weeks due to some office situation and she had a little flu. It's a real, we've been together for a long time. We're very compatible, but it's been unusual to have our sort of pace change.
I'm working from home today with my wife is at home. She's now working home on Fridays. I don't know if I'm allowed to share that information, but I am.
I don't know who would be listening that would get. I'm not even sure what you think was the thing you're not supposed to share.
I don't know.
Exactly.
It was, yeah, I don't know. But
my wife
totally
asked me not to air her dirty laundry that she sometimes works from home.
But I was home one other day this week. I'm like home writing a script and like just even this morning she was like, is it okay if I'm here? And I'm like, yes. Like, how do you think I like use the space when I'm here. It's
like, yeah, what are you doing? I got about 40, 45 guys over later to scream at a college basketball game. Or is that cool with you? Joe, I wanted to have you on to talk about running.
Yes.
Because you were on another podcast. This is how I recruit guests that are friends of mine. I'm like, oh, I think Wengert's too busy. Oh, Wengert did dumbbells. I wonder if he has free time. I'll email him. And you had a great episode of the dumbbells. Thank and you talked a lot about running, and specifically the Vegas half marathon.
Yes.
And I got so excited hearing about that. Huge Vegas fan, wanted some sort of physical task to inspire me. And I looked it up, and it was like in November. We're recording this at the end of March. I was like, I could foreseeably not really start training hard until May or June and still survive a half marathon.
You could do it. This is around when I started training the year that I did it.
Yeah.
And I had been running a lot at that point, but this is enough time. If you're using like one of those apps that either gives you a training thing, or if you're like working with other people,
how's your running now currently? Because you are also a full-time TV writer, which is sort of eats into running time, I would assume. Or are you early enough riser?
I get up pretty early. I'm a new dog owner, which has now taken a lot of my running time because I have a...
You got to get little pee-pees and poo-poos out in the morning.
Yeah. I got to get the pee-pees out. And I also have to get the poo-poos out. And he's a puppy. My dog's name is Tony, and he's got a lot of energy.
Great,
and
so, great dog name. I was saying it right before we got on.
Yeah.
Love a human name for a dog.
It's the only way to go. Yeah. It's the someone on the street. It sounded like they said, you're very sweet.
Oh, I sound like they said, I disagree.
Oh. Your guess makes more sense because it sounded
someone just walking
angry.
By my studio saying
it's a shit name.
Yeah, hey, Tony, that's my name. Fuck that. Oh, all right, well, see you later, bud. So the dog's been cutting into your running time.
Well, yeah, like I used to go on a run in the morning, and now I'm like, instead of doing that, which is a little more selfish, I could take him on a long walk and like tire him out. So.
Yeah.
But I still try to do...
Do you do, like, take him on a long walk in your running gear, dump him into the house, and then take off for a couple of miles? Is that what you do?
Yeah. Yes. That's what I aspire to do.
Yes.
But
it doesn't always work out.
Yeah. Obviously.
That's what I've been doing lately with Arthur in the morning is taking him for his block or whatever and get him going and then take off myself. Because he used to be able to run with me, but now he's a little dog. And so for him to run with me was... funny because I'm like 25 times his size, but we were kept the same pace because I'm so out of shape. He has such little legs, but now that he's gotten older, his pace has changed and it's even too slow for me.
Yes.
He kind of wants to like sniff stuff and piss on everything, so I can't really jog with him anymore.
I haven't tried it with Tony yet because we're still kind of training him, and on walks I will go, let's run, and we'll run up the street, and he loves it, and he like tears off.
That's
and takes
awesome.
off. But I feel like if I did it with him at this point, I've only had him for a couple of weeks, I'm afraid that he's going to be like, this is always what I do with this guy.
Right. You
want.
Don't want to set it up that when he gets on the leash, he's sprinting the whole time and you're just like, I'm hungover, I need to get to work.
He'll be dragging me around. Yeah. All 13 pounds of him.
Yeah, we got to worry. We got to talk about your leg strength, man. And Tony's dragging your ass. You're doing the Iditarod with a 13-pound mutt.
I mean, I do a lot of running, but it is more like trotting than anything else.
Yeah.
Like I keep a very slow pace.
I think I'm literally only intending to finish a half marathon.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I have no desire to succeed in any capacity or even, I just want to say I have done a half marathon.
My goal when I did it was to do it with like minimal walk breaks.
That's my exact plan.
Yes, yeah. Which is doable. And I think I may have said this on dumbbells already, but I did it with a group of friends. My friend Susanna did have a better time than me, and she was pregnant at the time. And I didn't know it. Like, they hadn't told everybody yet, but she made sure to tell me once she did let everybody know that she beat me at a half marathon as a pregnant woman.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to, I'm going to be lapped by like the Make-A-Wish family that's like running, like we're going, I'm going to carry my son across the finish line. They're going to just blow right past me like a 70-year-old dad swimming with a kid or whatever.
Have they announced who the musical guest this year is?
No, I don't think they've even really announced much. I'm like signed up to be alerted when registration opens. Yeah.
I think it was Kid Rock the year I did it.
Because it's like the rock and roll half marathon, yeah, or rock and roll marathon or something.
And this is the extent to which they drag that through the race, which is you have Kid Rock or somebody at the beginning, but then as you're running along, it's like local, I would have to assume like Nevada and California cover bands.
Oh, yeah, that are like maybe playing rap. They play every Friday at the Gordon Ramsay Steakhouse in Paris or whatever, in the Paris Hotel or some shit.
It's like the physical opposite of everybody doing the run. Like it's like a bunch of like gross cover band dudes just like set up on the street.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna get a knowing nod from every single one of those bassists. Hey brother, good to see you at the meeting. It's on the strip, which I think was the thing that appealed to me the most.
It's really great, and I like going to Vegas, but I'm also usually horrified by it while I'm there, especially walking down the strip because there's so many just like droves of people just drinking on the street and like,
yeah, I don't mind like being in a hotel, but like getting on the strip is always like, I don't want to see all these people.
Seeing the guy like in like a dirty minion costume, like trying to get pictures with people.
And like a family in jean shorts all holding like giant fucking like 3 liters of like a Long Island iced tea with a necklace that like holds it around their neck. And you're like, Jesus Christ. I always equate jean shorts with tourists, like with like, cause that's what the vision I have from living in New York of a tourist is a dude in like jean shorts with a t-shirt tucked in, white socks and white sneakers, drinking like a liter of Pepsi on the L train or some shit.
Carrying a bag from the M&M store. Right.
Having like a backpack filled so much, but not taking it off on the subway, and it just like is back like 2 feet behind them, like a turtle shell.
But this thing, what's nice about it is they shut down this part of the strip, basically. Yeah. So
you're running in the middle of the street,
which is crazy, also.
Yeah.
But you just get to like take in all of the sights and the buildings and everything.
Like starts later in the evening, right?
Yeah, it's very cool. It's like it was like 60 degrees or something when I did it. Maybe even cooler than
that's
that.
Awesome. Did you wear any glowing shit? Did you wear like a headlamp or like
I didn't.
glow stick in your mouth like a raver?
You know, that's what I normally do, and so but that's just for me hanging out. There was like you were issued like one of those like mesh like special shirts that I think is like supposed to be easy on your nipples, I guess, for like designed for running. And it was and it said rock and roll on it. And recently got rid of it because every time I put it on, I was like, what? I'm projecting a false version of myself.
Joe Wengert, little bit rock and roll. Surprise, surprise. What if you just showed up to your day job with a bandana and a sleeveless shirt on and like jeans, like with paint on them?
It would get noticed immediately.
Right. There would be, because people notice you. You classically are, in the last few years I've known you, started, I don't know, have you always been like a suit jacket and button down shirt guy?
There are pictures from me in like 2002 in a blazer. And like now I've kind of like now I'm in my late 30s. I've grown into the blazer more.
Right.
But I remember at that point, like
I remember a Kromf picture maybe.
Oh, I used to wear the blazer on stage when I'm doing fucking improv. I was wearing a blazer. Like that. Somebody should have pulled me aside, basically.
And you used to be a teacher.
Yes.
So a blazer makes sense for that career. But that now you are a comedy writer where you can wear whatever you want.
Yes. It was always the teaching was incidental to the how I wanted to look. I remember going to a bar. I had a friend that lived in Baltimore and we went to some bar. And the surly bartender, when I like got up to order my drink, was like, "And what can I get for the philosopher?" And I was like, "Ooh," but he was right. I was like 22 years old.
And Neil Casey's a suit guy too, and you guys have been friends for a long time.
Yeah,
is that like a weird? Did you guys wear suits together at Delaware?
We didn't. It was kind of more of like, you know, like you go to college and you're like, I'm going to reinvent myself. Yeah. I think for me, it was like when I got to New York, I was like trying to project this like my image of like what I thought I should look like as a like comedian.
Like try to look like a class act in some capacity.
We were committed to the suits thing. And I feel like the last time the last memory I really have associated with Neil and I both wearing suits, we were up for a writing job at a TV show. We made it to the point where we got to have an interview. This was when we were still had stopped being writing partners for a while. It was one of those things where our friend who recommended us was like, you guys should write something together. They probably won't hire you separately, but maybe as a team they'll hire you.
Yeah, so you were ready to try it out. Hey, I'll take
it. And it was fun. Yeah. And we hadn't written anything in a while, and we like wrote a pilot over Skype or something over the course of a couple of nights. And like we worked at nighttime for me, which meant it was 3 hours later for Neil because he was still in New York.
Which is completely reasonable for him.
Totally makes sense.
I can work from like 1:30 in the morning to 5:30 in the morning, sleep through the day.
My memory grossly exaggerates things like this, but my memory of it is him sitting like on a like fire escape smoking a cigarette, like talking about
sounds
this
completely reasonable
thing.
Yeah,
and like I was like
New York Times flapping in the wind.
And I was in a CPA's office for some reason, and I was typing up what we were saying. But we had a meeting. He flew out here for the meeting, and we made the decision of, he was like, we're going to wear suits, right? And I'm like, yeah, we should wear suits. And it was like 150 degrees or something. And we went to get breakfast before the meeting, and we were just running late, and we were drinking coffee, and we were just both sweating. So we walked into this meeting where everybody, now I know, writers' rooms are very casual. People are basically in their fucking pajamas. We walked into this meeting, and we're just like sweating in these suits. And I can barely remember anything that I said in the meeting because of just like the fear and like the heat exhaustion.
The second you start paying attention to that, your little bit of self-conscious trickles in. You start like it's exponentially increasing the sweat or like how you feel. Like now you're wiping your brow and you're getting like red marks or getting hives. I know that exact feeling.
It was one of those, like, it wasn't a creeping thing. It was like as soon as we walked into the room, it was like we shouldn't have worn suits. And it's also a comedy job, so you can't be like, this is kind of, we think it's funny that we're wearing these suits. That's even worse.
Yeah, because they're like, not only do you have insane fashion choices, but you have terrible taste in comedy. Hey, isn't it funny that we have suits on? Yeah, sure, man. Did you guys get that job?
No, we didn't.
I mean, I figured.
It was a bad interview.
We both fainted halfway through. That's the thing that stops me from dressing nice. Is at least maybe I'm projecting or making excuses, is I get so hot so easily.
Yeah.
I'm like the other cliche of like the fat guy who wears shorts in college, where you find yourself, I peacocked all through college. All my clothes are fucking like neon. And I wore Hawaiian shirts all senior year of high school, like, and board shorts to school. I thought I was fucking, I don't know what I thought I was. But that, again.
Did teachers give you shit about that? Or like, was it just like, this is accepted, this is who you are? Like,
yeah, it was kind of weird. I feel like I was, teachers gave me shit about way more stuff than my clothes. Like, I was a monster to have in class. I was a nightmare. As like, hindsight being 2020, like, I thought I was charming, but I definitely was, like, truly, like, objectively disruptive.
Yes.
Like, I objectively prevented someone who was doing God's work of teaching high school. I ruined their day on a daily basis.
Just cracking jokes or
cracking jokes. And then, like, you know, every once in a while, a slight escalation of that, of like thinking it's funny to like throw a book out the window. And
I was never that guy, but I was always buddies with that guy. And I eventually like was able to control it more in high school, but in junior high, the only time I would ever get in trouble was basically for giggling, because I'd be friends with a dude like that who'd be throwing the book out the window to make me laugh. And when I would get the giggles going, I just like would not be able to stop. And then it's one of those things where you're like in the situation and you know you're not supposed to be laughing, and it makes you laugh even more. Like, this same group of friends, we went to see A Time to Kill in the theaters.
Oh, geez.
And my friend did some bullshit like,
"You're damn right I did it."
We're laughing throughout the whole movie. Oh. And people are shushing us. And it's like, they should have. It's right, like a serious movie.
Yeah, you're wrong. That's fun. It's funny for you to say, I've always been friends with the class clown, like the friends with the wild person. And because that is sort of like what your career is,
yes.
Right? You're like, I'm very funny and I have very good taste in comedy. I'm not wild and out there, but put me next to a wild person and it works. Wow, that's really like cute. It's like 30 years ago, 20 years ago, you were like training for what you do best now.
I taught middle school for a long time, and I really do think by the time you hit like 7th or 8th grade, like you're formed as your personality.
You kind of get locked into that. Yeah.
And then I think it's like there's a long time where you try out different stuff, but really you're like looking for the place where you're personality sort of fits in, you know?
And I think if you have like the privilege or the capabilities to go away to school, to get away from your family, mm-hmm. you sort of choose, like you split yourself, I think, between how you really are at 13 and how you think you want to be as an adult. And you kind of like, you add a little bit of what you think you should be, or like you were saying, like, I became like, I thought I was Van Wilder when I got away to college. I was like, this is who I'm going to be. But really, that's the same person I was when I was 13, like an obnoxious, attention-starved, like, weirdo.
Yeah.
And I sort of thought I was creating this new thing, but really, I was just being my... I had to be, like, sort of quiet and buttoned up in high school because I wasn't that popular in the beginning. And then now when I went to college, I was like, I'm a fucking god. Deal with this. Like, just get... Like, it was almost like taking the leash off when I got to college, like, where I'm like, now I can be a real freak.
I remember being at that age and like not having any concept that there were like comedy writers. Like I just, you know, like thought that like, you know, David Letterman was just like the coming up with all that shit himself. But like I definitely hit a point at school where I would use any opportunity to do any sort of like project or thing in front of the class as an opportunity to like write a bit.
Oh.
Like I remember like having to do proofs in math, like in calculus, and like there was an assignment where everybody had to like explain a proof in front of the class. And I remember my bit at the end was like, after I explained the problem, I was like, or there's an alternative way that you can do this, which is you call Doug Turner. And then I like had all these slides that I projected on the board about just like calling the smartest kid in the class, which is what I normally did to fucking do my math homework. And it was like not disruptive in the way it sounds like you were being. It was like just enough where the teacher was like, all right, well, we'll let Joe make his joke here at the end.
Yeah, that's like you did the work too. Like that's the trick. That's the Joe of it all. You ate all your vegetables, then did the silly thing. Mom, can I put on a show in the backyard? You have to do all your homework. Well, I did it already. Oh, you little studious bastard. When did you get into running?
I got into running when I moved out here. I kind of had my years in New York where I got like super out of shape and I was like staying up all night drinking and eating a lot of like fast food and shitty food and stuff. And when I moved here, the first apartment I had like a gym in the building. And then when I moved out of there, I didn't have that anymore. And so I was just like, I'll let Hollywood be my gym. And I lived
and you started doing like chin ups on the Meng's Chinese Theater.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I ran the stairs at the Hollywood Bowl. I deadlifted the O in the Hollywood sign. What I like to do is I like to run Hollywood Boulevard and stop and do push ups on every stall. Sit ups on female stars, push ups. It's my cross training.
What I love about this is you set up this like very clear premise, and now I've just been laughing while you said five specifics in a row. And I know exercises, but in my mind, I'm like, the arch? I'm like, no, the arch is in New York. I'm like, not. I lived like in Los Feliz, so I would just run along like Los Feliz Boulevard and like up into up near like the Greek Theater.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You can get outside very often here in California,
and it's nice and it's beautiful out most of the time. And
yeah, and you were never like into running to be good at running. You were just like, this will make me not get fat, right? Like
it was kind of it was like trying to slow the process of me getting fat because that was happening, and then sort of the byproduct that I wasn't really anticipating is just like it just improved my mood. Like that's something that I don't know, like was never specifically like modeled or explained to me growing up that
Same.
Like exercise isn't just about like getting ripped or like losing weight. It's also just like it like releases endorphins in your brain and like helps relieve stress. And
I'm coming around to that. That's funny you mentioned that. I've brought it up a few times on the podcast. I've been, now that I'm back at exercise, I've been to the gym for the last couple of months, and I go in the mornings and my whole day is truly better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I never felt that until I went, like, you know, when I moved here, I did like the opposite of what you did. In my time in New York, I was in shape because I had like a routine and I had a gym and I was playing rugby. Then when I moved here, I sort of had nothing. And then I wasn't even walking. And then I kind of like didn't like the gyms because I was walking to my gym in Brooklyn and I kind of just used a bunch of excuses. And then I was like, 4 years have gone by and I'm like just been smoking weed and like staying up late and I'm like, I'm so out of shape. And then I start exercising and my fucking, I was like borderline depressed before that.
Yeah.
And then exercising, I'm like, I mean, I'm still like, you know, researching therapists, but at the same time, like just exercising, I'm like, oh my God, I have so many less negative thoughts about myself. I feel better going to an audition if I didn't prepare for it at all either way, but I exercised before on one day and showered and did all that.
Yeah.
I'll show up and I'll just feel better walking into the room. I'll feel more confident and I'll feel more like myself. Yes. And I'm like, holy shit, that is, and again, something no one's ever explained to me. I wish when I was a child, someone explained that and also credit cards to me, and I would be like way further along in my life.
I remember going for a run. Like I remember very specifically going through this period as an adolescent where I was like, I need to start getting in shape. And it's just like that thing when you like just want to, you just want to be somebody else when you're like 15. And I remember going,
you're like, just see like the skinny guy get the hot girl and you're like, or the jacked guy with a girl, or the jacked guy takes his shirt off and feels comfortable with himself. And you're like, that's the only answer to my happiness.
Or even
right
just
here.
Seeing it like in TV or in movies and stuff. Yeah. And I love my family and they're very supportive of me in so many ways. But I remember like going to the track, like the track and field track at my high school, like walking there in my like Chuck Converse, like low top, flat top, like flat, high top, flat sneakers, and just like
high
running.
Running in my high heels with my flat top haircut.
Going there and just like running laps and then coming home and my family being like, what did you do? And me explaining it and them being like, that's dumb. Like, you're going to hurt your feet by doing that. But it wasn't like you need to get sneakers because you want to exercise. It was more like, what are you exercising for?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's, yeah. My family, my dad was a fitness buff, but my mom would be like, don't exercise. You know, people, you know, she must have read a report one time that like someone collapsed during a football practice like that. And it was just like, everything was like, my mom is like, any situation she can just pinpoint. Well, there's a family text thread, and I should show you this because it's really funny. My brother's leaving for Cancun tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And my aunt's like, watch out for mixed drinks. They poison people down there. I'm like, Auntie, I feel like you maybe mean like dose someone with like GHB or roofies or something. I don't think people are straight up getting poisoned at Senor Frogs. But it's like always just my family's always just like the immediate worst.
The catastrophe.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to join a gym in my high school. I'm from Long Island, as maybe anyone who's listened to this podcast knows. And gyms are a big thing. Like I joined my local Gold's and my parents made me give up the membership because they were worried I was going to start doing steroids.
Really? Because
I was going to a gym.
Just because you were going to be around people lifting weights.
And I mean, most of the kids in my high school did do steroids. Like, that is true. But I didn't.
Yeah.
And then I was like, when I got older, I was like, my parents, I wasn't asking them to pay for it. I wasn't like, you need to buy me all this equipment.
Yeah.
I just wanted to join the gym because my friends worked out there and I was into lifting weights.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't do it because, and then I was like, I'm fat now. Like, that's not your fault per se, but I'd like you to just like, what if you let me join the gym?
I always say, like, cause I moved out of my family's house at, you know, at college and then never lived there again. But they got a cat that was like, and granted, it was like a Maine Coon, one of those cats that gets really big, but it was like a very tiny kitten. And then at some point in its life, it weighed like 20 pounds. And whenever I would go home, I would like see that cat and be like, this is who I would be if
that's
I
your slide
never
indoors.
Left. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Because my mom would have just continued to feed me. And like, that's what every problem would be like. Have another, have some more.
That's brutal. And then what made you decide to go from like, oh, I jog to get my head right and get my, did you ever get like into the, before I get into the half marathon question,
yeah.
Did you get into like the gear at all? Were you like a gearhead a little bit about running? Were you like, or did you get like good shoes and you were happy with
them?
Yeah,
I like had like one day, cause again, like I'm only ever wearing like blazers and button ups and khakis. And there was a period for a while in LA where I was wearing these like brown Italian dress shoes everywhere. These like leather shoes, like again, on stage, just anytime I was anywhere. And I remember going to a wedding with my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time now, and like I didn't have any like flip-flops or sandals to wear down to the pool. It was at like, what's that hotel in Palm Springs, the Strand?
Oh yeah, yeah.
And so I like wore my dress shoes down to the pool, and she was like, what the fuck is wrong with you? But I like went out shopping and I bought a bunch of like basketball shorts, like workout shorts. I already had t-shirts. I bought a bunch of headbands, and then I went to this place called a Runner's Circle or the Running Circle or yeah. something. And
they did
and,
like a gait analysis.
Yeah. And I bought.
And what'd they say about your gait?
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Oh, so you
they were like, what do you want to get shoes for? And at that point, I was starting to get more serious about running and I was starting the half marathon training. And so they gave me like what the Asics or whatever that I had for a while.
And do you just keep buying the same pairs now?
I did for a while. And now sometimes I'll just, when I need new ones, I'll go in there and like, I'm not necessarily loyal to one brand.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes you can't, like, I had that first pair of Asics and they were like red and white. And then when I went back in, they were like, they don't totally make that type anymore, but this is the thing that's closest. And I remember it was like all neon colors. It was neon, orange, green, and blue.
Yeah,
and it was like, no, but I got them. But it was like, because I would only ever wear them when I was running.
Yeah.
But I remember one time standing on Sunset like Boulevard in Silver Lake and a bus pulled up and the lady driving the bus leaned out and was like, I like those shoes. And I was like, oh, that's awesome.
That's really funny.
Never gotten a compliment from a bus driver on my shoes in my life.
They're not big fans of Italian brown leather loafers, that's for sure. Oh man, you should run in like you should get like a Under Armour tweed jacket outfit and like running shoes that look like brown dress shoes so you can look like just full, keep your style while you jog around LA.
Sometimes I will wear my blazer with my running stuff if it's been cold in LA lately when I go to take Tony for that morning walk.
Oh, and then drop it before you start running.
Yes.
And then you must look like...
I look crazy, but also... To get the poop bags open, I found it's easier if I have gloves on, and I have these gloves that I use for gardening, but I only need a glove on my right hand. So I walk around in basketball shorts and a t-shirt with like a tweed blazer and one glove. And Holly's like, you look like a cartoonish version of like a murderer.
Yeah. Dude, there are a handful of people in your neighborhood who have... between them and their significant other or their friends or roommates come up with an entire backstory for you.
The glove guy's out. They're warning each other about me on like Nextdoor or something.
Yeah, when you join Nextdoor, you're going to have to go like, that was me. And it's the poop bags are hard to open. Yeah, I find myself the only way to really get the poop bags open for me is to do like the lick your fingers and to get them apart. And... it's kind of a weird thing to lick your fingers and then pick up shit. And it's like, it just feels too, like, there is poop there. And I'm like, okay. And then I go to lick my fingers. I'm like, I didn't touch the poop with these fingers that I can't even, like, it's just a poop bag. It's empty now. Like, I forget for like a split second. It's like too close to shit to be like licking my hands.
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta get one glove.
I would do the ripping, but then sometimes the whole bag rips.
Yeah. Can't have that.
Yeah.
You're going to master it, though. You know, Tony's still young. You're going to be a master.
The glove works, and I don't care what my neighbors think of the one glove man.
You should keep just the glove and forget dog poop bags. You have a glove. You know, you just pick up the shit, walk it over, throw it in the garbage, leave the glove outside by your door, put it on in the morning. Like a baby. That's like Home Alone 4. We're the shit bandits. What made you decide to take it up a notch to half marathon training?
It was kind of more of like a social thing initially, because the sort of step in between was I started doing like 5Ks and 10Ks, and like it was just like people in my friend group like would all be do. There was one like the Chinatown like 5K, 10K is like a similar sort of thing. It's like on a Saturday morning, and it's just like a cool part of town I don't normally go to. Right. I did one like where you ran through the Universal Studios backlot, which was fun.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. People love the Disney run, right? Like people love,
yes.
There's like all, and I think
people get dressed up for that one. Yeah. Like the Universal one, there was like, you know, you run through like one part and like zombies run out and chase you.
Oh,
and
that's
like they
fun.
Had like people in Whoville waving at us and, you know, like little touches like that.
You were
crying. I think they had people, yeah, they had people dressed like the Norman Bates from Psycho chased you at
awesome.
One point.
Yeah, I had friends that ran a race in San Francisco, and they ran it in suits and dress shoes.
Really?
Just for like a bit.
How long of a
race? I think it was either a 5K or a 10K. But they're like, one of them's like a real jock athlete, like rugby player guy. The other one is an athletic guy, but he's more about just doing like weird stunts. Former guest of the podcast, Paul Young from the rugby episode. Little Australian dude, ran a 10K in a suit and dress shoes. Because he thought it would be a funny bit. I need to get started on it. What app did you use for a half marathon?
I have always used, I've used it so long that I'm forgetting the name of it. So it's right on my phone. So
Runtastic Pro. Yes. Runtastic Bro. I'm opening it up right now by accident, but you are like computer specific, like you are a OCD about,
yes,
a lot of things.
Yes.
And did that come in with running?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
With anything, like I just love to like have a schedule and like have a plan.
Yeah.
So you sort of like select the thing that you're training for, and then it gives you like a bunch of tasks. And like, I'm a big like to-do list in the morning of like check off my tasks sort of person. And oh yeah, okay.
Yeah. I can't do it without, and there's shit on here that makes no sense too. That's like cut nails. Like,
oh,
email.
You gotta put a couple on there that you know you're gonna achieve.
Right.
I
you gotta get
that.
The momentum going.
Yeah.
A couple of checks, get it going.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a big fan of my to-do list has like who to email and like all that stuff going on. But then there's also things like move laundry basket, you know, like just like shit while it's on my mind of what I have to do. Yeah.
When my therapist tried to get me into like self-care routines to sort of combat my like over-schedulification of my entire life. And I sort of got to like a happy medium, because he was in this thing where he's like, you're trying to like make yourself work every second of the day. You need to take care of yourself. So now I do all this stuff in the morning, but it is on like a list. So I still get to like check off.
So
like I meditated, I checked, I completed a task, you know? So the app was good for that, because it would be like, you should do this sort of run today and then take a rest and then do 2 days of these length runs and then have a rest day. And so just getting on that sort of schedule helped a lot.
What was that like averaging, like 4 runs a week? Or
I think so. Yeah.
And for a couple of miles each one, some of them like way longer or?
Yes. Yeah. I sort of kept the basic plan that it would have me do is just like, now it's my running diet or running regimen or whatever you want to call it, just moving forward, which is like, it would be like somewhere around like a 3 mile length run during the week, and like two or three of those, and then on the weekend one longer run, so like 6 miles or more.
Oh, okay.
And every week you would like go up in distance until you were hitting that 13 mile mark.
Oh, and did you run 13 miles before the
half
marathon?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And that I think is definitely like the most important part of training for it, because it seems like such an impossible thing to do.
Yeah.
But then as you're doing it incrementally, you sort of, it just makes it more achievable. And then on the day of, you're like, I did do this before, so I know how to do
it. Oh, right. Because in my head, I was like, if I run 10 miles once and survive in my training and keep the rest of just like regular getting out there and getting miles in, if I do 10 miles once, I feel like I could go in my head, you can do 13.
Yeah.
But maybe you should do 13 once just so you can say, like, so when you get on when you're tired at the end of the half marathon, you're like, I know I can finish this and I'll survive. Yeah.
The thing that's weird is you do it. You do a half marathon.
Right.
But I think part of the motivator, at least for me, was like, I want to like say or tell everybody I did a half marathon.
Yeah.
So you like do one, but like you don't get a medal or you don't. I didn't really feel like I could say like I did a half marathon because I did the distance of one, but right. I was just, you know.
Wasn't in a race.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
My friend Meg helped me train, and a bunch of us who all were doing the race together kind of was a more experienced. She had run a marathon before, and she had done a bunch of runs. And she had us do a run here in L.A., which was a good – the 13 miles were here in L.A. And we, like, ran up in the hills, like, up near the Hollywood sign. And so it was, like, during the day, so it was a lot hotter. It's a lot different climate here. And that was, like, really good preparation. Because then when I got to the actual half, it wasn't nearly as hard as that.
Oh, shit. Yeah, maybe that's the move.
Because nine, for me, like, going up those increments, you know, I'd be tired, but it was like, I can do it. And then once you get to 9 miles, it's like a whole different thing.
Because that's like
becomes harder.
Over an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Easily.
For like, me, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. I think, I mean, for me, I'm looking at probably 4 miles is an hour.
Do you know what your time per
No, not mile not is currently. Yet? I'm starting to learn it, mm-hmm. and it's not fast.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I need to really pick up. I've never enjoyed running. The joke I always make is like, I don't want to run unless I have a ball or I'm trying to get someone who has a ball in their hand. Like, those are the only two things that make running make excitable for me is like, am I tackling someone? Am I scoring something? So I've never really run for fun. I mean, I've done a few 5Ks and I used to run for like training purposes, but now I'm like, this is the first time I'm going to try to be I have to spend 6 months being like a runner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you listen to when you run?
I used to listen to whatever music I wanted. Then I got really into Radiohead when I ran because it mm-hmm. was like a lot of just like dun dun dun. Like if it's like that metronome kind of music.
Yeah.
But lately I've been listening to podcasts and I don't think that's the right move. But
oh,
for
really?
Me, it's just sort of like a good conjunction of like, I want to listen to this and I got to be outside for a half hour. Yeah.
That I found that like, listening to like music that like gets me like pumped up, or not to sound too much, hey kids, to get pumped up on my run, but like that only took me so far. And
right.
at a certain point, the podcast helped because like what I would do is I would run to the reservoir and then just go around the reservoir, which is like 2 miles for as many laps as I needed to do to get the rest of my mileage. And that gets boring after a while because you're seeing the same scenery.
Right.
Unless if there's a lot of like weirdos out walking around the reservoir. So if it was a podcast that I really like to listen to, it would kind of help the time pass a little
bit. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And I guess if you're not trying to make pace or anything like that, it's just good. Yeah. Because I was thinking like, I'm trying to get into audiobooks too currently. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wonder if this is a good combination, if I'm going to need to start being with headphones on and running. And
yeah.
Did you run outside always, or were you ever on treadmills?
I've done treadmills. Yeah. Yeah, like whenever I'm like at a hotel or I'm traveling or anything, I'm usually doing a treadmill, but I prefer to be outside.
Yeah.
I feel like on a treadmill, I kind of push myself to go faster a little bit more to get it over quicker because that boredom
right. You're
kicks
like, yeah, because it is fucking, and it's not vitamin D, fresh air, sights, humans. Like that's why running outside, like getting on a treadmill seems brutal, but necessary if you have to.
Yeah,
we went away for 4th of July and we were out drinking. All night, and then you got up, and when I woke up, you had just come back from a run.
Yeah,
and I think if you go for a run or like workout on a day on a weekend away, that's like to me, a monk's level of like discipline. You know what I mean? Like I said to Tiffany the other day, I'm like, I went to a Hollywood premiere party and didn't have one drink. I had like 12 seltzers. Uh-huh. And I felt truly like I ascended. You know what I mean? Like I was like, I'm capable of almost anything.
Yeah.
And all I did was like take a night off drinking. And
yeah.
So like for me, I can't even picture a world where I'm like, I got to go run on a Saturday morning while I'm in so-and-so. But if you're training for a marathon, like you kind of got to get your runs in.
And now for me, because it's been a couple of years since I've done that race, I just need to do that just to like not feel sleepy. Like I went away for New Year's with another, my wife and I went away with another couple, and I like went on a long run like in the afternoon, and everyone was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing this long run now? But it was because I wanted to stay up late for New Year's Eve.
And oh.
If I hadn't done that,
and
it's this weird thing of like you have to push through this long thing that seems like is going to make you really tired, but it actually
it just makes you better, makes
energy.
Your whole day better.
Yeah.
Oh, that's are you the type of person that like because are you self-driven enough or do you need like for me, I think the only thing that I couldn't build myself up to a 10-mile run if I didn't have like a chance of embarrassing myself at a half marathon.
Yeah, I definitely now I find that more often than not, like my long run on the weekend ends up being closer to the low end of like 6 miles or something.
Okay.
Just because it's like you're a combination of things of like I'm busy or I've got other shit to do, but it's also like, yeah, I'm not building towards that thing.
Right. It's like, do I really want to do 8 miles this Saturday for no reason other than like I did 6
yes,
last week?
Yes. Yeah. Like last year, I got married last year and my wedding coming up like helped with that because I was like trying to lose weight for that. And
you looked amazing in that dress.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah. And I made it myself, you know, so...
It was one, you wore one glove, a wedding dress, and a tweed blazer over it. You're a morning runner?
Yeah.
You prefer the morning to run, yeah.
Yeah.
Because is it the matter of getting it out of the way, or is it like the whole day's improvement type situation?
Yeah, both of those things. Yeah. And I find it harder to get the motivation to go out on the other end of the day when I'm feeling tired.
Yeah.
I never like running at night as much just because I'm a mostly fear-based person and I am like afraid of just
the boogie
coyotes, one-gloved murderers, like anything that might be out there.
Someone who's specifically looking to kill people who wear one glove or people who wear one glove and murder people, whatever one-gloved murderers might be out there. Yeah,
my Saturday run right now is a morning run that I've got like a path. Now I live in Eagle Rock and I kind of like run into Glendale. So it's like some of it is like running like on like suburban sort of residential streets. And then eventually it leads into this like more like hike where it's like a higher elevation and that feels more naturey. And then
oh,
it's
that's
back.
Cool.
And it's like a lot of like trees. So there's like shade. And that's a pretty good run. Although I have friends that have moved, they bought a house on the route of the run. And now I like see them all the time when I'm on my run and I run right past their house and I feel weird about
it. You feel like you have to switch now?
Well, no, I'm not gonna, but I do feel like I'm always like, hi, Matt. Hi, Rebecca. Cause I'm like always, they just always see me out running around. Running right past their window.
Like Ferris Buellering through their backyard. I found I never thought I was a morning person. And then like recently I've been really looking into myself, trying to figure out what I need to do. And I remember when I was training at my best, weightlifting, it was in the morning. And it's because I will gladly deprioritize exercise. But if I just get up and do it,
yeah.
I can make bad choices for the rest of the day, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But I am also less likely to make a bad choice once I've exercised.
Yes.
Sort of if I lift in the morning, I'm like, well, I'm not going to eat shit lunch now. But then
that's interesting.
If I'm saving it for, if I'm going to work out at the end of the day, I might eat a shit lunch and be, that's the reason why I don't go to the gym. I'd be like,
wow.
Oh, you know what? I'm just going to get another. I'm going to get a beer at lunch and then I won't go to the gym at 5. You know, I'll just like blow it off. Excuse me.
It's all, I'm like a reward sort of based person. So that is another like thing that's motivating me where it's like, well, maybe I can get like a sandwich or something for lunch instead of a salad if I go on this run in the morning.
Right,
or like,
you've earned it.
Yeah, or I can have a beer or some like eat a snack or something when I come home.
That's how I feel about the Vegas half marathon is like, if I do the Vegas half marathon, I'm allowed to go directly to a buffet.
It is what we did.
Yeah.
It is what
we did. Because you were with Kula from the buffets episode of High and Mighty.
Like
buffet expert Chris Kula.
So we would have been going there anyway.
Right, exactly.
And
but you earned it. You were allowed to do whatever you want. You ran 13 miles.
You're so hungry and your body needs so much like energy at that point that it really is. I don't normally like buffets because I want to eat everything that's there, but I know I'm going to be full after like a normal amount of food. And this, for some reason, I was like really into tiramisu at that point. And they had those little tiramisu cups and like I had like a dozen tiramisu cups.
Half marathons are you're like sitting there with like the foil blanket on. Everyone's having like gel packs and you have like 12 ramekins of tiramisu. Yummy.
We had a bunch of friends who came up, including my wife, who didn't run the race and just like got drunk and were like smoking cigarettes while we ran the race. And then they like met up with us at the buffet and then like also went to the buffet. So it was like a really odd clip. It was like a bunch of like tired, sweaty like people and then just drunk people.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen with my group because like Tiff is not going to run it, but she said she wants to go. And
yeah.
My friend that's going to run it, his partner doesn't want to do it. So it's like, all right, well, we'll figure it out. What do you listen to? So podcasts now?
Yeah, mostly that. And sometimes I will listen to music or like I'll make a playlist or something, get into that.
If you have 24 free hours to design a playlist.
If I make a playlist, like that isn't like something that is like a highly ritualized part of my life.
Well, I know. I'm just picturing you making a running playlist and what that would be for you.
I made one for that half marathon and it was like, yeah, it was like a weekend probably.
Of just designing like 6 hour playlist.
Yeah, and trying to think of like what's a good kickoff song? And then like, I know I'm going to get tired around like mile six. So then like, what's a bunch of stuff I can put in there? And like,
oh, that's fun. Yeah. Oh, interesting. I might be doing that same thing. I might be making a fool. But then it's weird because you're running past bands playing music with your headphones on.
It was really super rude. The majority of the people were doing that.
Right.
So
yeah.
They have to have known that when they're getting into it.
I would be remiss if I put on like a audiobook for my half marathon. do you do anything like, how has running changed anything else in your life? Do you do anything else different because you got into running or do you find it to do anything in particular that helps you with your running? Do you stretch in the morning before you run?
Yeah, I definitely do that. And for me, it's like, I think it just like made me like more aware of like drinking water and like being hydrated and something like that, something that I wasn't doing before that I then overcorrected on. And there was actually a period where I was drinking too much water. Like I had the numbers wrong and I was drinking like almost twice as much as what I should have been drinking. So I was just drinking water all day. And our mutual friend, Noah Garfinkel, was like, "Hey man, I think you're drinking too much water." Watching me like drink a bottle of water in the writer's room and then get up and immediately fill it up and drink it all again. He just like over time clocked it. And I think I was like pretty defiant, was like, "No man,
you're
right."
Pissing like three times an hour.
Yeah.
I drink a shit ton of water. That's like a holdover from old meathead days of like when I was in college, like all the meathead guys, we would like carry around a gallon water jug and like drink it over the course of the day, like until it's like backwash at like 3:30 and just fucking finish it and then go to the gym. But could you drink too much water?
I think so. I think you have to like be drinking like a lot.
Yeah, it would like...
I mean, what I noticed after I stopped doing that is like, yes, I didn't have to go to the bathroom as much, like, and I was feeling bloated because I was having too much water.
That makes sense. If you feel
should have been able to figure it out without Noah's help.
Yeah, you know, all the signs were there.
It's one of those things where I am too. Like, I just got the number wrong in my mind, but it's something I looked up at some point.
And that's
so I'm always afraid of, like, you know, when, like, they come out with like a scientist will come out with a study of like, actually red wine is good for you. Like, I'm so afraid at some point that they're going to come out and they're going to say, this thing that I do every day is actually really bad for you because I've just been doing it because somebody told me to.
That's really like you saying, like, I got the numbers wrong on how much water. I'm like, like, I'm sick every day. I piss 3 times an hour. My coworkers are saying I drink too much water, but I swear I read this article that said. Like, what article? You're like, I don't remember where I read it. You're like, but you put so, it's so true though. Like, and then imagine,
well, it was, because what I had was, I was like, I think I should, I forget how many, it was like this many of these, like, I have like one of those metal Sig bottles. I was right. Like, I should drink X amount of these a day. And every day I was like, fuck, man, another day. At the end of the day, I just couldn't get my water done. It's like, that should have also been a red flag. Yeah. That if I'm actively trying, and at a certain point, my body's like, no more water now.
Driving home from the Fox lot to Eagle Rock and not pissing your pants must have been impossible.
Always. Always having to go. Not always pissing my pants. Always like coming home and like full move out of the way to my wife so that I could get to the bathroom. It was crazy.
Oh, man. Is there anything more humiliating than when you're cohabitating with a significant other? Wow, that was two words I never use. Like living with my wife. But when one is cohabitating with Sig of and gets home and you only have to go so bad to the bathroom. Like you feel like a scum, like you walk in the door and you're like, quiet. You're like, you know, you're like, don't get up. You just like charge to the bathroom. And like, it's happened to me a few times, obviously, and surprising probably no one, including you or listeners. Sometimes it happens with when I have to take a shit so bad and I like pull up in front of the house, get out, come in, and like, Tiff hears me like open the door. She goes to like help me. I go, out of the way. I'm like, my shirt is unbuttoned. My pants are undone. Like I'm at the door. And I'm just like, out of the way. And I just like slam the door. And I'm like, oh, and she's like, well, hi, honey. And I'm just like, oh, thank God. I fucking diarrheaed in my toilet instead of my car. And she's like, well, dinner's going to be ready in a half. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so gross.
The traffic is so bad here. It's got to be happening constantly.
I used to every once in a while. I think the first couple of years you live here, you go like, I kind of go to the bathroom, but it's like all the way in the back of this place. It's like, I don't want to go. I'll just fucking, there's a line. I'll just get in my car and get out of here. And then like, it's only 20 minutes. I could wait 20 minutes. And then something happens and it's a 35 minute ride.
Yeah.
And you're like peaking of how bad you have to pee or poo.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, if I remotely feel like I have to tinkle, I won't, as a 36 year old man who drinks a lot of water. And now the older I get, the like more frequently I have to urinate. I always pee like as close to the start of a movie or as late to my leaving some location. You know what I mean? Like I'll be like completely packed to go somewhere to like drive to Palm Springs or whatever. And then Tiffany will like finally be ready, get in the car. And I'll be like, I should just pee one more time. And I like go over the toilet and it'll be like drip, drip, drip. And I'm like, okay.
You get paranoid.
Yeah, I'm so paranoid. And I'm like, it happens so often. I don't want to be the guy that has to stop. And
you bringing up movies, I have missed key sequences of movies because I've had to pee and couldn't hold it. It's mainly during this period where, again, drinking way too much water. Yeah,
and also, this is not complete, but movies are now standardly like 2 hours and 25 minutes long. Like
I have just terrible luck for when I like pull the trigger on that. And I have two examples of like, I went to see Django Unchained with my friend Brian Gallaban.
Oh.
And have you seen the movie?
Yes.
There is like a very like bloody slaughter right towards the end. I got up, I guess, right before that started, and then came back and like half of the characters that I was watching were dead. And I leaned over to him and was like, what happened? And he was like, fuck you. He's there's no way for me to explain what you just missed.
I'm like, just sorry. See it again, Joe.
And then the movie Whiplash. You've seen Whiplash, the drum movie?
Oh, I was like thinking of Drew Barrymore's roller derby movie, but that's Whip It. Yes, Whiplash.
Oh, I missed the most important part of Whip It.
But it was funny because you're like, have you seen that? And I thought you were doing it as a bit. And I was like, actually, I have. Oh, Whiplash, no. Nate Lang's Whiplash? Was that wild when you saw him in that?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's not plugging anything ever, or no one knows what he's up to ever.
It was like as thrilling as seeing like Rob Hubel as annoying cell phone man, annoying cell phone man in like 2002 in that commercial. Because now it becomes so commonplace to see people you know and stuff. But it's like if it's a comedy, you're expecting it,
right? Yeah.
But that movie, I like 100%
DC and Captain America.
Exactly. Yeah.
When I saw that, happened to see that with Rogers, and we were like, we were in Arizona, and we had no idea, and we were just like laying in the theater. We had just like vaped in the parking lot, and all of a sudden DC comes on the screen and I was like, like cheering, and it's like an Apple Store sequence, so like the crowd is like, what is these two guys in Arizona screaming about this dude for? Although I did just go to a movie premiere for Game Over Man now on Netflix, but it was really fun because clearly all the actors were there.
Yeah.
And anytime like someone came up on screen, a certain section of the audience would clap. You know, even like I have a 1 minute scene in it, maybe 40 second scene in it. And when it came on, like my manager and lawyer who were like scattered around, and like two people who are better friends with me than the rest of the cast, like I felt like the four claps. And it was really a fun environment to be in where it was just like, oh, I guess that guy who just had that happen to him, his family is sitting there.
I went to see Kong Skull Island the night it came out with like a big group of people.
Of all Eugene's friends.
And
yeah.
Eugene is like not the biggest part in it. So it definitely felt weird that we were like cheering his commando. Yeah. And then continued to for the rest of the movie.
And he has like four moments where he's like very like visible or it's about him. And I felt the same way when I watched
it. I've never been so nervous during a movie. Like I've never been so invested in an action movie. Every time I was like, he's going to get killed by one of these big spiders. Like I never cared before.
And even if Eugene were to be killed by the spiders, it affects nothing whatsoever. Right. And you're still stressed. Oh, man.
But Whiplash, I got it. Did you see that movie?
Yes, love that
right,
movie.
Right, the car crash
I've seen Whip It 10 times, Whiplash once.
I got up right before the car crash scene. And I was working at the show Idiot Sitter at the time, and Jillian Bell was like obsessed with that movie. And then I came into work the next day and I was like, I missed some big thing where it's like, it's a car crash and then he's got a big audition. I missed that part. And she was like, I'm getting you a screener of the movie. And she like watched me watch the scene because she was like, you can't not watch that scene. Like the next day at work, she like had a screener and then watched me watch because I missed the best scene in the movie. And it was the best scene.
Yes. That really reminds me. One time I saw Rocky Balboa, the Rocky sequel before Creed, that wasn't after Rocky V. I saw it in the theaters at the Cobble Hill Cinema in Brooklyn, and literally we're sitting through the whole movie and it's fine. It's not a great movie, but all of a sudden it's like, well, I don't know if you're going to be able to handle this guy, but we're going to make you as strong as possible. We're going to give you weapons of mass destruction. Like that hype that leads up to dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
And as the music starts, two guys in front of us get up. And I'm like, yeah, I gotta go to the bathroom. I gotta go to the bathroom. And I'm like, if you're seeing the sixth Rocky movie and you've made it this far, don't you know this is the montage, the best part of the
That's
movie?
That's the like, only the, reason to the, see those movies.
The song that you've heard in five previous movies is about to start. And you're like, oh, better hit the head now. I really got to see how it ends, not like the most thrilling part of the movie. I couldn't believe it. And when they came back in, like towards the end of it, they were like, oh, yeah. I was like, get the fuck, sit down. This is my favorite part of the movie, is watching a 70-year-old man lift weights. It's so sad. It really is. I played Rocky IV, the training montage, as we pulled up to the rugby match for my birthday.
Oh, yes. Yes. I heard about this.
Playing Rocky IV on a DVD player in a coach bus full of 50 comedians and gay dudes is pretty exciting. Joe, do you have any advice for me as I embark on my running journey? As I embark on, I guess, becoming for at least half a year, someone who considers themselves a runner. Or would be considered a runner.
I think it's like important to stick to a schedule, but also like not be too strict about it based on what's going on in your regular, in the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So like this is like another, like, of course, this is like the water drinking thing again, where it's like, I like went out for drinks one night and like had a couple of drinks. And then I got up the next morning and I was like scheduled to do a long run. And I do my runs in the morning and I just like went on my long run, my like 6 mile run. And around mile three, I was like, is there something on my sunglasses? I thought there was like schmutz on my sunglasses. And it was like my vision was getting blurry because I was so dehydrated because I shouldn't have been on a 6 mile run.
Right.
I should have at least like woke, you know, got up in the morning and like had something to drink and had breakfast and yeah. stuff. I just like went on that
waited 1 hour yes. or whatever.
So it's like, just remember that it's okay to like get off those schedules, like based on yeah. whatever you're doing.
Do you run on an empty stomach in the morning?
I do. Yeah.
Pre-coffee or post-coffee?
Pre-coffee.
So you run and then come home and have coffee.
I got into this thing a couple years ago where I'm like, you have natural energy when you wake up. And you feel tired when you first wake up. But if you can push through that, you do have natural energy and you don't really need coffee until you've been up for 3 hours or so. That's my radical opinion. So I usually have my cup of coffee around like 9:30 and I get up around like 6 or 7 in the morning.
Oh, geez.
So the first like 10 minutes are rough. But once I like, and actually that's the great thing about having Tony now, because he like kind of forces me to, like, I don't hit snooze anymore.
Right.
Cause I'm like afraid he's going to shit in my house.
Oh yeah.
So I get up and get dressed and like take him. And then once I get going, I'm like going and I'm good. The food thing, I sometimes would eat before I would run, depending on if I was doing a later run. And I stopped doing that because I had a crazy allergic reaction once. And my doctor was like, it might have been because you ate this thing and then you went running, and like there are certain like nuts where it's like if it's already in your system, you won't have an allergic reaction, but then the exercise, it was like
activated
exercise induced anaphylactic shock. Jeez,
yeah.
Like my ears and my face blew up, and so
that's something you have to test, because if you have to eat before you run the half marathon, you better not try something. Well, that's what everyone says: is don't try something new right before.
Yes,
you race.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yes, yes.
It's not like I'm going to. Oh
yeah, before a big run like that, you've got to eat, of course. But
interesting.
Normally,
I'm thinking of when I start getting into runs, doing it in the morning on just coffee.
Yeah,
like just have a cup of coffee. Take my shit. My GI issues are my big concern with running, because like in the morning, like, but the
it's
thing
part
is
part of it for me now. Like yeah? that is part of
the
what
run helps in, you.
What guarantees that will happen before I have to go to work, which is another motivator for me to run, because no one wants to be the dude that's shitting at work.
Yeah. No one wants you talk about getting home from somewhere and rushing into the bathroom. The last thing you want to do is like arrive to work. They're like, the meeting's in 5. And you're like, can't. And you like charge past them with your fucking drop your bag in the can. You know, like
that was the thing at New Girls. Like, we're on the Fox lot. So there were like different levels of people where if you did have to shit at work, like how much courtesy you show your coworkers and how much privacy you need.
Yeah.
So I was a person that was like, I won't do it on the third floor. I will go down to the second floor. Like, not the floor that New Girl is on.
Right.
But like, sorry, the Orville or whatever, I shit in your bathroom. But then there were people that would work on the show that would be like, I go into another building on the lot. And then there was one guy I worked with who was like, he had like a one-seater bathroom that like no one else knew about that was in one specific theater, and like that's where he was.
He's like walking all the way across. He has to get a golf cart to get him across to get there. I need a PA to take me over to Tower 6. Like, oh god, hurry. Oh, that's really funny. I think I'm gonna be coffee, run, and come back.
That's good.
Yeah, and then eat breakfast.
And it's great then when you like eat that breakfast after the run, you really feel like
you've earned it.
You really deserve it.
Well, Joe, I'll check in with you in a couple of months when I have not started running yet and say, like, what do you think the latest I could start and really get this half marathon
done?
It's
Wednesday now. The race is on Saturday.
Yeah. Should I do 9 miles today and then be able to do 13 this weekend? Yeah, for me, it's more about just getting the mileage in total of, like, even if it's, like, 2 3-mile runs and 1 5-mile run a week for 3 months, like that'll be so much for me.
That scaffolding, I think, makes all the difference.
Yeah,
it just, once you do that a lot, it doesn't seem like a lot.
Right.
Like, I run 3 miles every day now, and if you told me that like 10 years ago, I would think that sounds insane.
I remember after I'd done in Brooklyn, and like when I was like 25 before I joined CrossFit, and I wanted like 26, I started to get back into shape. I was like, I'm gonna just jog to this park at down at the end of Hicks Street, and they have a dip bar and a chin-up bar, and I'll jog back. And I started doing that. I was like, could not make, and I was like, I can't believe I'm jogging this far. I can't, oh my God. Then all of a sudden I was like, this jog is not enough. Now I need to like do a little, and then I was doing like 2.5 miles and then chin-ups and dips and then the last half mile home at like sort of a faster pace. And I remember being like, doing that like 4 days a week and being like, I never thought I would have done that. But really, it's the first time you squat 400 pounds or a person squats 400 pounds. You're like, if you told me that when I was squatting 200, I couldn't believe that. But eventually you're squatting 385 and 400 doesn't seem that unreasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like in high school, when the mile would come around, it was like doing everything in my power to like have a doctor's note or something
run
that one mile, and that seemed like the longest distance
I could not even pick. To be honest, right now I'm talking about running a half marathon. It's about 7 months away, and 2 miles is brutal for me right now. But I think I could do it.
You could do it. You could definitely do it.
I'm gonna have a lot of real non-pro runners in here to talk to me about, because I love to talk to experts, but the people who have like managed to become runners despite being someone who works full time in comedy, or a man in his late 30s who's married. You know what I mean? Kind of shit to me is like, that's who I need to find out what they're doing to run wise. I'm sure a running coach can come in here and really tell me a bunch of shit, but I'd rather hear from someone who's like, oh yeah, I had an allergic reaction from a hazelnut. Watch out for those hazelnuts. Joe, are you a social media guy? You don't use Twitter all too much.
I'm on there still, but I don't really use it. But it's still there, and it's my name if you want to go see.
At Joe
when
Winger,
I was really into it.
Usually we say, like, tweet at us, like, any running hacks or something like that. Yeah, listeners, if you have anything. Or
any
cool races or any cool courses we should check out, let us know. And if you have any running advice for your dear fat podcast host here, please hit me up. Joe, do you have anything you want to plug?
I'm trying to think. The last season of New Girl's coming out soon.
The last season
it
of New Girl
starts sometime in April.
Awesome. Did you work on the first season of Big Mouth too? Yeah, you did.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
And that show is so funny.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah.
It's really good. Maya Rudolph's character, like the female sex energy, is so fucking
she's
funny.
She's the best.
Yeah, she's so awesome.
She's so funny.
She
does a bunch of other voices on there too, and there's a conceit in the show where it's like, the ghost of Duke Ellington lives in Nick's attic, so he has access to all these like celebrity ghosts, and it's amazing because you throw like anybody at her and she can like do a perfect, like, it's one thing to be able to do an impression, but she does like the ghost of Whitney Houston on the show, and it's like, she sounds like Whitney Houston when she's singing.
Yeah.
Like one of the best singers.
Yeah. I mean, she's a singer. Maya Rudolph is a singer.
The songs on the show that we've done so far, the best ones by far are Maya songs.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah, and she's got one in season two that's like really, really good. That's awesome. That I'm excited about.
I can't wait. As always, I'm at Gabrus on Twitter. Hit me up. Listen to Action Boys on Patreon or Raised by TV on Earwolf. And that's all. Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.